Welcome to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
My dear friends, on August the 28th, we celebrate the feast day of one of the most interesting saints from our early church history. It is the feast of Saint Augustine. Born in the later years of the Roman Empire, and in fact during his lifetime, the disintegration of the Roman world began. It started clearly with the taking of the city of Rome in the year 410 by a barbarian horde, causing an electric shock throughout the entire Roman world. And in fact, when St. Augustine was on his deathbed, a barbarian horde was besieging his own city in North Africa, the city of Hippo. And they took the city within a week or two after his death on August the 28th in the year 430. It was for St. Augustine an extraordinarily challenging time. His world that he grew up in, that he knew, began simply to fall apart. And it prompted one of his most important works that has had an influence throughout Christian history and particularly within the Catholic Church. I suspect that St. Augustine is best known for his book he called The Confessions, which is an extended prayer to God for his grace, his guidance, his many favors. But it is also an account in that prayer form of his own journey toward conversion to the Catholic Christian faith. It became something of a bestseller in the Christian world, and it was one of the first true autobiographies with a deep psychological understanding, profound expression of faith, and an extraordinary meditation on the meaning of life, the meaning of time and eternity. But added to his Confessions, there were two other works for which he is well known. In these, amongst so many sermons that were recorded that he preached, so many letters that he wrote, small treatises, but two stand out in that extraordinary display. One was a treatise on the Trinity, and that book includes one of the true analogies that can be used between the human consciousness and the life of the Trinity. I can't get into it. It is a very extraordinary work, and it takes some very deep thought. But St. Augustine believed that in our mind there is an extraordinary relationship between thought, word, and memory. And he said this is kind of an analogy between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how, in fact, they can be three separate persons, but yet united in one being, one substance. The other book that had a great influence, he called The City of God, the Civitas Dei. It was a book that he began to write after news received him of the fall of Rome in the year 410. There were many Christians who believed that the Roman Empire was almost a God-given way of spreading the gospel, Many of these Christians believe that once Rome had been converted to the faith of Christ, it was in fact a manifestation of that faith. And St. Augustine began by trying to show that in fact all worldly cities, all worldly kingdoms or empires rise and fall. That in fact the one lasting city is the city of God, that community of believers that are present in our world throughout the centuries, but who will be perfected only in the culmination of all history with the second coming of Jesus Christ. But in that work on the city of God, Augustine pointed out the relationship that Christians should have with the world and with the city or with the kingdom or country in which they live. And from his works, there are two aspects that I should like to briefly talk about. The first is that marvelous description of the nature of conversion, of turning toward the will of God, our Creator, who had created and redeemed us in love. And in that process of conversion, which took St. Augustine actually his own whole lifetime, even though there was a particular point when he was in his 30s that he finally made that decision to join himself to the body of Christ, the Church, and began to live fully the life of Christ. And in that conversion, the first thing that he had to change was his mode of thinking. It was a conversion of mind. He had to know what is true, had to find those sources of revelation of what is true, because you cannot live a life that you ought to live unless you know what the truth is. This conversion of mind is followed then by a conversion of will. That is the discipline and the willingness actually to live that truth that we have discovered. And this takes a pursuit of virtue, the virtue of hope, the virtue of fidelity to what has been given to us, the virtue of chastity, and the virtue of courage, to live by those decisions that are necessary to live the truth fully. And this takes a lifetime. This process, for some people, I think, begins with a single moment of insight. Many people have told me how at one particular point there was an experience of such drama that it changed their whole lives, or an insight, or an experience of loss, or of love. But actually, it took the rest of their lives to solidify this. I remember talking with an elderly monk who was telling me about his experience in having a very serious heart operation. He said, momentarily, apparently, he died. But he was revived. And he said, you know, the most extraordinary thing that I received from that experience is that I lost the fear of death. And losing that fear allowed me to live each moment of the life that I have left in really doing that which God has called me to do. St. Augustine, as he lay dying, asked that the penitential psalms be written on the walls of his cell so that he might pray them minute by minute, hour by hour, recognizing that you do not miss an opportunity to convert, to go deeper, to allow the whole of your life to magnify the God who created and redeemed you. And there is a third aspect of this conversion, and that is the conversion of our memory. So often the memories of our failings, of our faults, weighs down upon us. It may cause discouragement and a loss of hope. But St. Augustine rejoiced in the fact that in every moment of our life, we are surrounded by the love of God if we simply but turn to Him, and that we should fill our memories with the work that has been done by Christ for us. And in that regard, to be free from our past, perhaps learn a wisdom from it, but to be free for the future to which God calls us. I think involved in the conversion of life, as St. Augustine discovered, was the vital need of a community of believers. I think of St. Augustine's mother, St. Monica, whose feast day we celebrate on the 27th of August. How in her prayers and in her direction, in an almost persistent calling to her son, that finally, by the power of her example in prayers, she brought St. Augustine to that moment of turning toward Christ fully. St. Augustine himself believed that in our life of conversion, a community is necessary. He had wanted to found a monastic community of which he could be part. And in fact, he wrote a rule that was used for many centuries in organizing monastic communities. That is the first aspect of his writing, the nature of conversion. But a second aspect emerges most fully from his work called The City of God. He says that we Christians must understand that here we have no lasting city. As St. Paul tells us, our citizenship is in heaven with the saints. But at the same time, we do live in an actual world around us. We have to understand how we can live our Christian life in a world that may be passing, but is still very present to us. Worldly kingdoms pass, but the city of God endures through all changes. And the question becomes, how in fact do we reflect that enduring city of God in our everyday life? It's always going to be a matter of more or less, but we still have that profound responsibility to live and to express our faith in the world in which we are physically present. For St. Augustine believed that our faith invades all of our dealings with the world, the work we do, our family life, our engagement with civil and political structures. And it is incumbent upon all of us not only to give witness to our faith, but to become instruments of allowing that faith to be known and to be operative. And to do this until we are to meet our Lord Jesus Christ on that final day when all things will be revealed and all things will come to their purpose.
You have been listening to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. Join us each Tuesday at 5 p.m. for From the Chair with Bishop Frederick F. Campbell.